So Masdar City, you may not have heard of it, but it's a planned city in Abu Dhabi, and it promises to be the world's first carbon-neutral city. Well, why would an oil city want to create a carbon-neutral city? An oil producer want to create a carbon-neutral city? Well, actually, with the upheavals in the oil markets, oil producers are perhaps most worried about what's next in the carbon economy. And there's a conference that's actually taking place. The second World Future Energy Summit is actually opening in Abu Dhabi. And joining us to talk about it is Jesse Fox, who's a contributing writer for treehugger.com. He's an urban planner based in Tel Aviv. And Andrew Revkin, a reporter for the New York Times.Earth blog, is joining us from New York. Jesse and Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you.
So, Jesse,
hi, John, how are you?
Yeah, fine. Jesse, let me begin with you. Why does Abu Dhabi need to worry about a carbon-neutral future?
Well, I don't think they really have to worry. I don't think it's really an issue. I mean, they have enough natural gas and oil to last them for 100 years. I think that they're really trying to think ahead. I think they really want to position themselves as a kind of world leader in terms of renewable energy. And I think they figure eventually everybody will be doing it, so why not just go ahead and be the pioneer right now?
Andrew Revkin, we've seen British Petroleum change its name to Beyond Petroleum, or actually, I don't know what that acronym actually means, but it's something like that. How much of this is just atmospherics and marketing, and how much of it is actually a legitimate strategic concern about the future?
Well, the leadership there is pouring a significant amount of their own money into this, so it's not just a mirage. But they are also seeking to attract a lot of investment from outside. Part of the invite is for money to go there under the Kyoto Protocol. Europe has a lot of incentive in investing in projects in developing countries, and despite all the glitz in places like Abu Dhabi, we have to remember they are technically developing countries. So if you're in a rich country in Europe and you want to cut your emissions, you have two choices. You can do expensive things at home, or you can invest in projects through a certain part of that treaty elsewhere. So there's a flow of money going to, or at least until the economic turmoil, there had been a flow of investment money coming from places like Europe toward this project as well. But there's other signs that it's real. MIT, one of the great universities in the world, is building a research center there with the leadership of Abu Dhabi. So it's, not a mirage.
Although there is a lot of investment money available for universities, and Qatar actually has a whole set of university affiliates from the United States that have benefited very much from Qatar's interest in placing U.S. Institutions actually on their territory. But, Jesse, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Is it the case, and if it's true, I'm kind of sad about it, that it takes an oil producer's wealth to produce and build a carbon-neutral city in their own territory?
Well, it's no secret that Abu Dhabi has a lot of money. I mean, the government here has a lot of income, a lot of revenue from fossil fuel extraction. And they're very much an oil-based economy, and they're aware of that. But I think the leadership here made a very strategic decision to take all of that wealth and kind of invest it in the future. So, I mean, on the one hand, you're right. It does take a lot of money to invest in these things. I mean, they put up the Masdar Initiative, which is kind of like the umbrella organization that's setting up Masdar City, did receive $15 billion from the government. But in America as well, I mean, the government's talking about investing a lot of money in renewable energy and in energy security and environmental issues in general, including transportation. So I think it's not a model that couldn't be recreated in other places around the world.
Andrew, why do you think Abu Dhabi was inspired now to move towards greendom?
Well, now, it was actually a year or two ago. It's a couple of years ago when they started the plans for this. And remember, things were booming, absolutely booming. And the Emirates in particular, I was there in the 1980s the last time. And when it was really just dusty kind of gold trading outpost. And now it's got some of the world's great towers. I think you heard recently the Emirates, there's some word they're going to build an air-conditioned beach. So there was a lot of money. There's just a vast amount of wealth they're looking for the future. They know that the world will head increasingly toward renewable energy choices, and they're not Stupid.
All right, well, then they may not be stupid, but the question is, in a place with all those towers and all that shiny new building and all of that ostentatious wealth at the World Future Energy Summit, what's there on the agenda, and either of you can answer, for cities like Detroit or Calcutta or, you know, places that really need to take a different kind of strategy rather than giant top-down investments?
Well, actually, if I can answer the question, I mean, just today it was announced here that they made an agreement with Seychelles, which is a very small, you know, island nation that very likely will suffer extreme stress from climate change and rising sea levels. So they signed an agreement with Masdar, the Masdar Initiative, to explore renewable energy. So they're very much trying to make connections with different countries around the world to promote their agenda, which is, I mean, admittedly, very much business-based and investment-based, and it's a business conference. I mean,
sure.
What we see here is a lot of business people. There's a huge exhibition grounds with all the banks, all the oil companies, you know, really fancy exhibits, and very, very sleek and very shiny. But the essence of what's going on here is really redirecting business activity towards sustainable energy and sustainable enterprises in general.
And it is a tricky business in a place like Abu Dhabi, but very interesting issues, and the technological and social questions will be on the agenda at the World Future Energy Summit being held in Abu Dhabi in Masdar City. Jesse Fox, contributing editor for TreeHugger.com, thanks for joining us. Also, Andrew Revkin, reporter for the New York Times.Earth blog. And quick headlines now from Mark Garrison.
Thank you. Coming up on 29 minutes after the hour, in honor of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, President-elect Barack Obama plans to do some community service in D.C. today. He's the idea is supporting, if you get a day off of work, use it to do something good in the community. The president-elect will also appear at several dinners tonight honoring John McCain and Colin Powell. Markets in Europe are rising on the news that Britain will unveil a second bailout plan for its banks. London's FTSE is up more than 1.5%. Most Asian markets posted modest gains. Wall Street, of course, is closed for the King holiday. The jetliner that crash-landed in the Hudson River is now at a New Jersey pier where investigators will get a closer look at the damaged plane. One engine is still missing. They'll look for that tomorrow, hopefully.
That plane is bound for a museum, I tell you.
Yeah.
It's really – thank you, Mark.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.